286, and let's sing The Glory Land Way. Standing, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Jack. Church, you can be seated. Choir, if you'll remain standing. Turn over to page number 177. Page 177, let's sing Are You Washed in the Blood?
Your garden.
you back in the house of the Lord this evening. You heard that prayer request and Brother Jack's prayer. We call him Pa. He took a pretty big fall, and he's in Paulding Hospital. So please remember him in prayer tonight. And you all know all of the other prayer requests that were mentioned this morning. Leonard and Miss Dolores, their daughter, is in the presence of the Lord now, and we want to continue to lift them up in prayer and the family. And we will have arrangements for you very soon, I'm sure. So please remember the family in prayer. And also, many others going through some very difficult times. We want to remember all of them in prayer and just ask the Lord to be with each one. Please remember the choir. We will be going over, and we'll be joining Floyd Rhodes Choir. We're calling it the Jubilee Choir on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock over at Floyd Road. And we would love to take you all with us over there Tuesday night. If you can't be there, please pray for us. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a very exciting night for the choir, and we look forward to that. Brother Craig Edwards will be bringing the message on Tuesday evening. So please come and be with us. And if not, again, if you would just support us in prayer, we'd sure appreciate it. And we're looking forward to that night. It'll be a great night in the house of the Lord on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock over at Floyd Road. But please remember also on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock prayer meeting and Bible study here at the church, back on Wednesday evening at 7. And please pray for Pastor tonight as he brings our message. What a great message this morning. Amen?
Yes.
And we praise the Lord for that. Great moving of the Spirit here at Calvary, and we're very thankful for that. So let's just go to the Lord again tonight in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service as well as an offering here tonight. Father, we love you, and we praise you and thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be back in your house this evening. Lord, we thank you for the COU and the Brotherhood meeting today. Lord, what a blessing it was. Thank you for those that are willing to speak, Lord, on your behalf. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word and for the ministries that you, Lord, use people, Lord, through, and Lord, all across this great country, Lord, in touching people for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would just be with us now, Lord, tonight. You know exactly what is needed here at Calvary. Lord, we pray that you touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, many are sick. Many are going through difficult times physically. Lord, we pray that you would be with Paul and touch him, Lord. And Lord, you know exactly what is needed there. And pray that you would touch his body and heal him according to your will. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the Palmer family. Lord, I pray that you'd touch them. Lord, I pray that you'd give them the strength and the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, to be with our pastor tonight and speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive your word. Be in this service here tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. Lord, again, be with us this coming Tuesday. Lord, use the choir for your honor and your glory. Lord, be with Floyd Road through this week. Lord, give them great services. Lord, may souls be saved, the church be revived. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you for all that's done. In Jesus' name.
Time to get started, huh? Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the New Testament book. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. And as you're turning there, we have arrangements for Miss Sharon. And we have posted them to the church Facebook page, and we'll send out a call post, if not tonight, in the morning. But funeral arrangements are going to be at Clark's Funeral Home in Hiram, 3 p.m. on this Tuesday, August the 27th. And visitation will be that day from 1 till 3. And so Clark's Funeral Home, Hiram, 3 p.m. on Tuesday, visitation 1 to 3 o'clock, funeral time, and Miss Sharon's pastor, Brother Vermin, Palmer will be officiating. Interment to follow at Dallas Memory Gardens. Also, contributions are to be made to Don and Carla Rich Bible Ministry in lieu of flowers. Now, the arrangements is going to say the children's home, but we just received word that in lieu of flowers be made to the Bible, their Bible ministry. And either one you give to, you can't fail. And so you just give as you feel led, and whichever ministry. Again, I want to, Brother Allen had mentioned, Brother Jack in his prayer, about Morgan Tuck. Miss Benita sent me a message earlier, and Brother Morgan, he did take a very bad fall. His whole half of his face is purple, and he's not doing well. He's not doing well at all. He's at Paulden, and so just please, please, please remember him in the family. One more thing. At the conclusion of the message tonight, we have left conference open, and we have recommendations for the church's New Year teachers, and the New Year starts next Sunday. And so we're going to, did we have our papers passed out yet, Brother Ceylon? Okay. They're tomorrow. Okay. All right. We have those, and some point in time or the other, we'll get you one. So you can look those over and toward the conclusion of the service. And then we will discuss those and move forward. All right, Revelation chapter number 2. Let's bow for prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 8. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. One more time, Lord, on the brand new threshold of a week that you've given to us, Lord, I pray that, Father, we would just move forward with you, God, into new dimensions of relationship, Lord, levels of intimacy with you, drawing our strength from you so that we might live a well-pleasing life, fruitful life for Jesus. Take your word over the next few minutes, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would apply it to the hearts of your people, and we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter number 2. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." I want to stop there in verse number 11. And I want to talk about this church of Smyrna tonight for a few moments. And my title would be "The Rich Poor Church at Smyrna." The Rich Poor Church at Smyrna. This church knew its identity tonight. And of course, the writer, Jesus, gives reference in verse number 9. He says, "I know thy works in tribulation, in poverty." But he says, "But thou art rich." Thou art rich. This church and its identity was not wrapped up in the culture it was in. The church's identity here in Smyrna didn't allow the world to evaluate and to tell them who they were and what their worth was. They were a poor church, but yet they were a rich church. And they were a rich church because they loved Jesus and they knew the Lord. Now, there were some that were within the local assembly amongst the believers that were Jews physically, but not Jews spiritually. In fact, it says in verse number 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And so they were these Jews that were Jews by circumcision of the flesh outwardly. Hey, we're physically circumcised outwardly. We are God's true people. But we know that there's an inward circumcision that makes you a true child of God. And so there was mixed and mingled within unbelieving Jews, not true Jews. And so the Bible gives reference here to the synagogue of Satan in verse number 9. Synagogue of Satan. And he's given reference to the unbelieving Jew spiritually. He may be believing in regards of a physical circumcision of the flesh, but not that of a spiritual nature of the heart. And he's talking about the synagogue of Satan being them and causing friction and causing problems within this church. Back up to verse number 8, he says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. He's actually talking to a local body of believers. But yet he refers to these others as the synagogue of Satan. And so we see that there's a mixed and mingling of the two together. And I want to say that even in our day, there are those who come in the church door Sunday in and Sunday out, and they may claim they know Jesus, but do they inwardly? Is there that faith that's been applied to their hearts? Only God knows that. And so we leave that up to the Lord. But nonetheless, tonight we have this church, and it's the rich poor church. And it's a rich poor church because they knew their identity in Christ. And I want to say this, even as and on an individual basis, you and I will encounter an identity crisis, and it can tailspin everything having to do with relationships and people if we do not nail down who we are in Jesus. We'll allow the culture to dictate who we are and our actions. We'll allow man and people to say things in the latest trends, and if we don't keep up with those trends, then, well, I don't feel like I'm a part of anything, so I must not be anybody. That's false. If you are a true child of God, then you are God's child. And He is your Father, and you have promises given to you. You are forgiven, you are loved, and you have a purpose for your life. There are people I know, and listen, from time to time, there's the force of the struggle even upon me. Well, living in the culture and trying to move forward with the Lord and be a blessing and a help to the community, there's this struggle at times over what do I do to be fully used, or how do I reach out to the community. And if we allow ourselves, we can feel defeated and discouraged. But at the end of the day, it's all about identity that keeps us moving forward. This church was a church that did not struggle with identification. They were poor, but yet they were rich. Tonight I want to mention three or four things when it comes to this rich, poor church. In verse number 8, I want you to notice the address of the church. He says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And so we know the address of the church was that of Smyrna. It was a local body of believers. And some even say, commentators even say, they actually didn't have an actual church building as the synagogue of Satan did. Those unbelieving Jews. And we won't belabor that much, but it was actually from house to house, from breaking of bread here and breaking of bread there. But nonetheless, it was General Assembly in Smyrna. And so the address of the church was Smyrna. But then there was a messenger of the church as well. He says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write." What does he mean, angel? Well, angel is another word for messenger. And we believe, and as other commentators say, and actually the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible, in chapter 1 of Revelation, it identifies who those messengers are. If you look in chapter 1, in verse number 20, notice what the Bible says. Chapter 1, verse 20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. He talks about stars and he talks about angels, and it's given reference to the pastor, the messenger of the church. We know that there are seven churches mentioned, and each church has a messenger, has a pastor. And so we see that whatever message was given to John, and then John was to give it unto the angel of the church. Each church, this angel, this messenger was to address the congregation. So within this address of the church, it's located in Smyrna. But then the messenger, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write." The angel is the messenger, is the pastor of the church. But also there's a voice of the church within the church. He says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." And so the voice of the church, although God is using a messenger to cross over his message of challenge, his message of hope to the congregation, the ultimate voice of the church is the Lord. And this voice is a voice that is a voice of encouragement. He says, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." And so he's given reference to God, Creator God, being the first. Then he's given reference to himself being the last. He's given reference to Jesus that was dead and is alive, and he is vindicating and he is empowering this message that is being sent to this angel, so the angel will give it to the church. It was a poor church, but they were rich because they knew who Jesus was. They knew that Jesus was the first and the last. They knew that he was dead, but yet he's alive. And so if they are operating, the church of Smyrna was operating out of their identity, they would always be an overcomer. They would always succeed. Doesn't matter if church funds were up or church funds were down. Doesn't matter what the culture was. Didn't matter if they stayed with it or not. If they knew who Jesus was and they drawed from his provisions and realities in their life, they would be a moving forward church. So we see that the voice of the church has to do with the Lord saying, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And so he is encouraging this church. He's encouraging this church. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the address of the church, but in verse number 9, there's an acknowledgement to the church. Look what he says in verse 9. He says, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Verse number 9, I labeled this point the acknowledgement to the church. And that is because it's the Lord giving an acknowledgement to them. Number 1, He says, I know all about it. He says, I know your works. I know your tribulation. And I know your poverty situation. And the Lord was given a personal acknowledgement of knowing where they were as a church. Now, if you go back in chapter number 1, you'll know, and there's many places in this small chapter, 20 verses in chapter number 1, that Jesus is right in the middle of the church. Look at chapter number 1 and verse 13. Look at verse 12 and 13. Chapter 1, verse number 12. He says, I better back up and read verse number 11. This happens all the time. Verse number 11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, listen to this, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest, listen to this, in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. That's a mouthful. But he says that the stars, the pastors are in his right hand. I said that to say tonight that Jesus is right now in the midst of his church, the local church. Reference in verse number 12, talking about the 7 golden candlesticks. In verse 13, talking about in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, the Son of Man. And he goes on and he says, I'm holding the 7 stars in my hand, stars, messengers, pastor. Listen, I said this to say that Jesus knows everything that is going on in all his local churches. He knows all about his church body, the invisible body of Christ being built. He knows where we're at on the biblical calendar. He knows what's taking place at Calvary Baptist Church. Listen, Jesus has been moving pieces of the puzzle. He's fully aware. And I said that to say that verse number 9 says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Jesus not only corporately knows what we're going through in these 3 categories, but also he knows what we're going through individually. In these categories, works, tribulation, and poverty. But I like what he says, the next 4 words in verse number 9. But thou art rich. He says they're rich not based upon what they have, but he says they're rich based upon who they know. And I want to say it, this thing has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with riches. It has nothing to do with keeping up with society and culture, although we do our best to appeal the best we can without compromising what we believe. It is all about identification. It is all about knowing who you are in Jesus. It's all about knowing who Calvary is in Christ. That's what it's about. We won't spoil the movie. But again, we went and watched Overcomer. And little girl had a struggle with identification. And she was told that both her parents were dead. And so this young girl, she was given a paid tuition to a Christian school. And, you know, she stole and did things. And it never showed her selling any of the items. She was just trying to, fill a void. She was trying to fill something. It was in the wrong way. But make a long story short, she got saved, and lady told her that letter to the Lord, you go home and you read Ephesians chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, and you realize who you are in Christ. And I want to tell you, I shouted in that movie theater. I don't care worship going on. You know what I'm talking about? I don't care. I sat there and I was wiping my head and I was reeling and rocking and I didn't care. Woo! And you know what happened? Everybody else started saying, praise the Lord. Not because of me. Sometimes you do got to shout to break the silence. But identification. That little girl, she was raised in her hands. It was wonderful. Soul saved. Knowing who she is in Christ, I don't have to allow man to tell me who I am. I didn't have a mother or father, but I'm still highly favored and loved. Tonight, Jesus wants us to know that He not only loves the invisible body of Christ, but He loves His local church. And He's here at this assembly, Calvary, and He's working and He's doing things. And listen, we know who we are. We're believers in Christ, and we don't have to have a two-story building. Listen, if God permits that, oh, awesome. If God extends the territory, wonderful. But as for today, and when we arise in the morning, my heart is set on knowing God's will for tomorrow and doing my best to walk in His will and to reach out to our church members and love each and every one of you the best I can. And I trust as Proverbs chapter number 3 says, verse 5 and 6, that as I trust in the Lord, He will direct my steps. And as we come together and trust in the Lord with our local assembly moving forward, day by day, grace by grace, that God will bless and get us to where we need to be. But folks, I'm not rolling over tomorrow morning and feeling bad about where we're at as a church, because I got my identification correct. This church is a church that's about Jesus. This church is a church that wants to share Jesus. This isn't a church that wants to uplift man and expose the flesh, the carnal nature, no. In my own individual life, it's not about what I didn't do, but it is all about what I did. And I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. November 19th, 2002 was the best day of my life. Because He started to show me from then till now who I am. And there's times in life when I fall short and I'm not the dad I want to be, the husband I want to be. But I have to stop and stop a second and say, you know what? Praise God, I'm not what I used to be. But it's what I am now. I want to tell you the whole movie if I ain't careful. Another little snippet. Man was in the hospital, and he asked the high school football coach, he said, can I ask you a question? And the high school football coach, he was in there talking to him, you know, he's Christian and all. He said, go ahead. He said, what are you? said, I'm a high school football coach. He said, or basketball coach. He said, what are you? I'm a high school basketball coach. He goes, no. What are you? He said, I'm a husband. No. He said, come on now, what are you? He said, I'm telling you what I am. I'm father. I'm husband. He said, come on, tell me what you are. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, that's sad. You stated to me what you are at the very end of your list, in the first of your list. I was blown away. But you know, that happens to all of us. I don't know what it is. It's just through the hustle and bustle of life. And I know that was a setup that the man was asking him that. But first and foremost, more than a dad, more than a husband, more than I can do any of those things, I am a Christian. Meaning, I belong to Jesus. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't be a husband. I couldn't be a dad. I couldn't be a pastor. Try to be all those things if it wasn't for Jesus. Who are you tonight? Who are you tonight? I trust and pray that everyone in this room is a Christian. And if you are, you start your week off by telling yourself, the flesh and the devil, the world, and anybody else that wants to know that you are a Christian. You are a born-again child of God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. My sins are gone. I have a new day ahead of me. I don't have to wallow in my sins, in my faults, in my failures. Doesn't matter. I'm a late bloomer in life, even if that's you. Doesn't matter what kind of dad you have been, what kind of mother you have been, grandparent. Doesn't matter. Today's a new day. And you're a Christian. God's your Father. I'm talking about the rich, poor church tonight. And in verse number 9, he gives us an acknowledgement of this. He says, I know thy works. In tribulation and poverty. But thou art rich. And so he's given them a word on identity. He's given them a word on knowledge. He, in other words, he knows what's going on, the Lord does. And then, of course, we mentioned the latter part of verse number 9, where he says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. In verse number 10, I want us to move on, and I want to mention the advising to the church. We see the address, verse 8, the acknowledgement, verse 9, but in verse number 10, the Lord gives an advisory to them. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The Lord advises them, first of all, on a fear not. Now, just slow down a minute and really look at this. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. I had to stop today and look at this and really look at it, ask God to show me what he wants to show me. And he showed me. The Lord can see tomorrow. We can only see today. And in this passage, he has given us a big fear not. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. Look at this, 10 days. We're not trying to over-spiritualize anything here, but sometimes you just got to take things at face value. And I believe 10 days means 10 days. We know that there is a course you can take on Bible numerology. And we know that the number 10 is reference to government. It could possibly mean Roman persecution there along with the government. But nonetheless, he says 10 days, and that's to be an encouragement to them. In other words, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, because it's going to be real quick. It's not going to last long. 10 days is what he's saying. He's advising the church here to fear not. And he's encouraging them with a small amount of days. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Future tense. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. It's not 100 days. It's not 200 days, not 50 days, not 20 days, but 10 days. Listen, here's my message to you tonight. Some of you are going through personal struggles and battles. Jesus can see tomorrow. We can only see today. But the Lord in His all-sufficient grace will carry us through whatever seems to be a lifetime for us. Another thing about trials, they always pass. God always gives us green pastures and still waters. The trial you're in will soon come to pass. Or at least God will give grace to accept the thing that's going on. And He will motivate you, and He will strengthen you, and He will give you green pastures and still waters to drink from. 10 days. He's encouraging this church. He's encouraging them. He's advising them. Fear not. I can see tomorrow. You can see today. What does Matthew chapter number 6 say? Sufficient is the evil thereof, speaking of tomorrow. And he tells us to focus on today. James tells us that life is a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Our job is to focus on today, because God has tomorrow in His hand. We see a fear not. We see an encouragement, 10 days. But then we see a crown. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Crown of life. We know that there are different crowns mentioned in the Bible. In fact, in chapter number 5 of Revelation, I believe it is, we have a picture of casting our crowns at the Lamb's feet. But there are different crowns, and the crown of life, James also speaks of this crown. Turn, if you would, to James chapter number 1 for a moment. James chapter number 1 and verse 12. What James says. James 1:12. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown of life is in reference to trials. And he's telling this church, the church of Smyrna, he says that your church is under and will be under a great trial of persecution. He says, but endure and you'll receive a crown of life. And you can cast it at my feet when you see me. There's also a crown of glory. We won't take the time. You can go back later and look. But in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 4, there's the pastor's crown for faithful service. And then there's the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. This is faithful watching for the Lord's return. And there's the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. This is the soul winner's crown. Remember this morning when I told you that my brother traded in a worldly trophy for a heavenly one? There's the soul winner's crown. Then there's the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 25, 24 and 25, Paul mentions this crown, incorruptible crown, when it comes to dealing with the flesh. Brother CJ, tag team brotherhood. I don't know if that couple's still here or not, Brother Joe. I think they maybe slipped out, but they tag team on brotherhood. CJ was talking about first base, second base, third base, home base. First base being salvation, second base being sanctification, third base being service. Am I right? Excellent illustration. Excellent. He said, you know, you get saved and you just want to jump in the Lord's work, and that's what we do when we get saved, the fruit of the Christian. But truth of the matter is, there has to be some training in there in order to be used. Probably the ultimate way God wants to use you. There's various and various training that's involved. And And I believe along the way there's the understanding of our flesh that we can't lean on the flesh. We can't live for Jesus in the flesh, meaning to live for Jesus and to be victorious, we have to spend time with Him. We can't just off the cuff live life of victory. And I love that when Brother CJ said that, he said, because base number two is sanctification. It's when God is working on you and He is chopping away, He's molding and He's forming. And you can't go from first to third. You got to round second. And it's on second base is when you realize that, listen, I'm human. My flesh is fallen. Oh, wretched man that I am. And so somehow this thing has to work out. Either I'm going to quit or go on. And I got news for me, and I got news for everybody. There is no quitting living for Jesus. Once you surrender to Him and bow your heart to Him, you are His. His Holy Spirit's in you, and the work begins. But Paul says there's an incorruptible crown when it comes to mastering the flesh, or at least knowing your limits. Back to the church of Smyrna. Verse number 10, he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. I want to mention just one more thing tonight. The ability of the church. There's an ability here as well. There's an address. There's an acknowledgement and advising, but then there's an ability in verse 11. He says in verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is he talking about? What kind of an ability? He's talking to, and this is addressed to the church in Smyrna, the body of Christ. And as individuals and corporately, because of the new birth, because of regeneration, we have been awakened. We have been awoken. Is that right? Awakened. We've been woke up. We've been brought to life by Jesus, the Holy Ghost. And because of that, we can discern spiritual things. And so he's saying, he that hath an ear, he that hath this spiritual discernment, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I want to mention 1 John chapter 2. Just listen along to this. 1 John 2, 27. But the anointing or unction or ability which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ability. And ye need not that any man teach you. There's some things that man can't teach, only God can bestow. But as the same anointing, unction, ability teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I'm reading that in conjunction with verse number 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Church, we have the ability to hear from God. There is a strong significance. There is an admonition even. There is a charge here to listen. Not for the word to be on deaf ears. Not for the word to fall on hard ground or thorny briars. But when we come in here, even Wednesday nights, down below in the youth department, the kids up here, other places you go to listen, let us come with a perked ear because the Spirit is speaking. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then he concludes with, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I'm very careful with this portion because if you read this at face value, it almost seems like a work salvation. But when he says, he that overcometh, I believe he's giving reference to those who have overcome by the new birth. will endure to the end. Not that we won't receive persecution, but that we will endure. We will endure because though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. It's that indestructible seed that causes us to endure. So he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Spirit says, saith unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, which is the lake of fire. So tonight, the rich poor church at Smyrna. I just want to leave you with this question tonight. Who are you? Who are you? Are you a Christian first? I'm not talking about performance. We all fall short. Do you know God? If you do, let's start our week on that premise that we know God and there's nothing that can separate us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your blessings. God, I pray for the next few moments that you would be with the invitation time and also with the conference. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray.